Okay, well, on page 948, V'yayim Hashem Eli Leimer, okay? Again, a few of the psukim we'll learn, so we'll go quickly, and then we'll move on. Rav Lochem Seves Ha'orazeh, Hashem said to me, Moshe Rabbeinu says, enough encircling this mountain of Har Sinai, because now that the Jews had to stay in the Midbar 40 years, so therefore they had to go back in the Midbar and make go circling around. And the people you should command as follows. You are passing through the boundary of your brothers, the children of Esav, Hayeshim B'Seir, that live in the land of Seir, because that's the land of Esav, V'yiru Mikem, and they will fear you, but you should be very careful. You know, even though the people from Edom are going to be afraid of the Jews, don't start up with them. And the pasuk continues, out is garubam, don't provoke them. I will not give you any of the land of Edom. Amidrach kaflogal, even the right to set foot there. Ki Yerushalayim Esav, because Yerushalayim Esav is inheritance to Esav, Nasatias Harseir, I gave Harseir. Hashem is telling the Jews, listen, you're going to go, unlike Sichon and Og, the Jews conquered the land, right? Unlike all these other things, the Jews fought and won the wars. Hashem, 948. Hashem says, this, you're not going to win the war, and I don't want to even to start up with them. Now, why is that? Okay? So there's a few inyanim. Number one, the Mefarshim say, interesting, Esav said to Yaakov, Yesh li rov, have an abundance. Remember when Yaakov and Esav meant, and Yaakov is giving the gifts to Esav that he shouldn't kill him? So Esav said, I don't need the gifts, Yesh li rov, I have an abundance. Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have whatever I need. It's brought down, the Medrash says, Esav said an expression of, I have an abundance, that's like a sign of haughtiness. I'm rich, I got it all, you know. Yaakov said, Yashli kol, I have whatever I need. With more of a humility, humble attitude. So it says, when Hashem said, Rav lochem, save us ha'orazeh, he says, because Esav refused to receive gifts from you, in that schus, I'm not giving you his land. Wow. That's why the pasuk says the expression Rav Lochem, because Esav told you Rav, Yeshli Rav, because Esav used that expression that I have a lot, meaning he refused to take all the gifts Yaakov sent him. So because of that, Hashem said, in that merit, Esav is going to have his land, you're not going to be able to take it away from him. Another reason that it says also, the Mefarshim explain, because he had a unique mitzvah that Yaakov didn't have, and that was Kibud Av V'Em. They could read, you know, in the Parsha, Yaakov was away from home 22 years, he didn't have Kibud Av V'Em, but Esav, in fact, Esav, as we know, if you know, last week's Parsha, which we read, yeah? So it says, Rivka had Esav's garments. Remember when Rivka dressed Yaakov in Esav's garments? Yeah? So Rashi says, why were they in Rivka's house? So simply because he didn't trust his wives. he didn't trust his wives, so he gave it to his Yiddish mama.
Oh, the mother was fixing them, or doing tailoring.
No, that doesn't say the mother was doing tailoring. Rashi says, because he didn't trust his wives.
She did the laundry.
Only the mother. But it says in the Medrash that when Esav came to serve Yitzchok, he put on special garments. And therefore he kept him in Rivka's house, because that was where he served Yitzchok, right? So whenever he went to serve Yitzchok, he had those special garments specially designated to serve Yitzchok. So Esav had an unbelievable amount of Kibud Av V'Em. Mm. So it says in the Medrash that because that's why the Jews were not allowed to get the land of Esav. Why did Esav merit to keep his land and Moab didn't and the other places didn't? Because number one, Esav declined the gifts of Yaakov, and secondly, because Esav had this unbelievable mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em.
Oh, this is the Makor, that's why we shouldn't get gifts?
Seinu matonis yichya? No, it's a pasuk. Seinu matonis yichya.
But there's no relation.
No.
Mohav, and they're not coming from the.
One second. No. We're going to see that soon. So he says, Eichot tishbiru meitam v'kesev. You should buy food from them. V'achaltem, and you should eat at the food. And like we said, even though they had their own food, but Hashem wanted them to show that they were rich. Okay? Another thing, the Mefarshim explained another interesting thing here about not to get the food. He says, like, even though the Jews had mon, why did they need to buy food from Esav if they had the mon? So simply the reason is because to give them the business. You know, you're going in the country, like we said last week. You know, they don't like the Jews in Switzerland because they don't spend money in the economy. Okay, so he says, but there's another thing like this. Okay, Derech Eretz, a person should buy something from, but he says here an interesting thing. Where did I see that reason? No, the reason is because even though Hashem wanted the Jews to look like they had everything, and the Pashim explained, they definitely knew. Esav definitely knew that the Jews had the money, because the whole desert was next to the land of Esav. The Jews were camping around, the desert was not that big. Right, so the Jews camped not far from Esav. So obviously they knew that the Jews for 40 years had the mud. They knew that.
A cloud is not covering them?
Yeah, but they still, every so often they went out. They still went out.
The need for buying stuff from Esav was just to help Esav.
The simple meaning, Rashi says...
Friendship.
Rashi says the simple meaning is that to teach us decency. To teach us decency. That you come to a place, you spend money for the economy, even though you have all your needs. Okay. So you should buy food from them. You should buy water from. This is where we ended up last week. Okay, now, the pasuk is like this. Because Hashem, because Hashem blessed you with everything that you do. And like Rashi says two things. Number one, you should show that you have a bracha from Hashem, that Hashem made you wealthy. And you should show the people from Esav that you have this bracha from Hashem. They should know that you have this blessing from Hashem. Because you follow the ways of Hashem. So if you follow the ways of Hashem, Hashem is going to give you everything that you need. Rashi said, Haru atzmechem Hashem, you should show yourself that you should be wealthy. Now,
Esav is a believe God?
What?
Esav is believing in God?
Esav didn't believe in God.
So how come they should see the blessing from God if they don't believe in God?
There's a whole issue over here, because over here it seems that the Jews and Esav were on very good terms. And yet, Amalek was a descendant of Esav. He fought with the Jews. So he brings down, the Mefarshim explain, the Rashbam says, that there were two parts of Esav. Edom and Seir. Edom was the part that fought the Jews, and Seir was the part that was good with the Jews. And here the Torah is calling him Har Seir. The Torah is saying basically they're on good terms. Therefore, buy food from them, you know, show that you have Hashem's bracha, whatever you need, and everything is good.
It continues to nowadays also.
Some of them are good with the Jews and some aren't. Okay, he says also like this. What does it mean? Ve'iracha Hashem alakecha b'chola ma'isi yadecha. So the Mefarshim explain, what is the Pasuk teaching us? You can't sit down, we mentioned this Saturday night. You can't sit down and say, okay, if Parnassi comes from Hashem, Hashem gives me a bracha to make a living, I can sleep in bed a whole day. Okay? The Torah says no. Ve'iracha Hashem alakecha b'chol ma'asi yadecha. You have to put your hand to it. There's a famous story in the Gemara. Rav Chanina ben Daisa was very, very poor. A famous story in the Gemara. Very, very poor. And he once wanted to bring a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. But he couldn't afford anything. So he found a beautiful rock. A big rock that he found that he would like to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. How's he going to schlep a big rock to Yerushalayim? I mean, it's impossible. So it says in the Gemara, Hashem sent down malachim, like people, and he saw them, and he said, oh, where are you going? He said, we're going to the Beis HaMikdash. He said, oh, maybe you can help me bring this, the stone. So they said, yeah, sure, come on. Let's go do it together. The second of Chanina ben Daisa put his hand to it, the stone was in Yerushalayim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mefarshim and the Gemara explain, the Malachim said, we're not going to do it without you putting your hand to it. Even though, what did he do? He put his hand, he didn't carry the rock. But Hashem says, b'chol ma'asi yadecha.
Wow, that's
really
big.
Huh?
That's big.
You have to put your hand to it, then you get a bracha. If you're not going to put your hand to it, you're not going to get a bracha without it. And that's what the Pasuk, the Mefarshim say, this is what the Pasuk is emphasizing over here. That dafka, when a person works, this is from the Yalkut, that when a person works, that's when you have a bracha in Hashem. It has to be your working, your action, to make a bracha. They tell a story, a big tzaddik once gave a person a bracha that he should win the lottery. But he didn't. So he went back to his Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I didn't win the rally. He said, did you buy a ticket? He said, no. I can give you a bracha to win the lottery, but you gotta do something. Yeah. One second. Somebody once came to the Tzemach Tzedek and he asked for a bracha. The Tzemach Tzedek gave him a bracha, didn't work. So he came back to the Tzemach Tzedek. This wasn't a lottery, it was a different story. And he came back to the Tzemach Tzedek and said, Rebbe, why didn't it work? You gave me a bracha, it didn't work. So the Tzemach Tzedek gave him an analogy, which is a perfect analogy for this. He says, for a farmer, the biggest bracha is rain. For a farmer, the biggest bracha that could be is rain. But rain is only a bracha if you planted the field. If you plowed and you cultivated the land and you planted the seed, then when rain comes, rain is a bracha. But if you don't plant the field and rain comes, it's not going to be a bracha. All you can have is a bunch of mud. So that's what the Tzemach Tzedek said to me. You want a bracha? This is what the Pasuk is saying over here. Ubeiracha Hashem alakecha b'chol ma'asi yadecha. Hashem gives the bracha in ma'asi yadecha, in the work of your hands. If you don't work in your hands, it's not going to happen. Now, he said, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, not that it's Hashem will give you a bracha when you work. He says, Beirachacha, because Hashem already gave you a bracha with all the things that you took out of Egypt. All the things you took out of Egypt, Hashem gave you a bracha in it. Like B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven had an abundance of cattle, and the Jews had an abundance of wealth. And he said, therefore, show your appreciation by buying food and not to be a schlepper that, you don't want to spend money, because you have to be appreciative of Hashem's bracha. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Why should you buy food from them? Why should you spend money getting food from Esav? Because Hashem gave you a bracha, show appreciation of the bracha. That you're willing to help out somebody else because Hashem gave you a bracha. The Jews had enough food for themselves. They had the money, they had the wealth, they didn't need any of this. Hashem says, you need to show appreciation for the bracha Hashem gave you to help out somebody else. And that's where...
Two different interpretations.
Oh, this is the part that I was saying. Okay, so maybe somebody will come along. This is what he says. And some of Hashem say, this is... Okay, he says, some people say, you know what? Let me not buy food. Let me show them that Hashem gives us all the food. On the contrary, the fact that we don't need to buy, that itself will show that Hashem gives us a brach that we have enough. So he says, no. Because Adam definitely, that's what he says. 19 years they were in Kaddish, the 19 we just learned, that was the boundary of Adam. So no question Adam knew it. So he says, what do I want? Don't deny, and you want to show that you're rich, that Hashem blessed you with wealth. Because you're learning Torah in the desert, Hashem blessed you with wealth. That's what you need to show. So even though you have enough food, Hashem says, I want you to...
What's the master goes on learning Torah?
Yeah. I told you there was, but I don't remember which class it was. Rav Shimon Yochai had a student that left yeshiva and became very wealthy. Went into business, became very wealthy. So the students get a little depressed. You know, look at this guy left yeshiva, look at him, we're a bunch of schleppers, you know. So the Gemara says that Rav Shimon Yochai took him out to a field. And Rashbi said, Bika, Bika, Mali Din Rizov. Valley, fill up with golden coins. And the valley filled up with a bunch of golden coins. Rav Shimon Yochai said to them, guys, take what you want. And nobody took. That was the miracle. that Rashbi made a valley fill up with gold coins, no big deal. That the Jews didn't take, that's a miracle. No, they saw that that's in the... So in other words, they wanted to show, from one side, the Jews wanted to show, you see, we're learning Torah, doing it, that's what they did in the Midbar. By the way, when you said about the clouds, it says in Svarim, how did they do Kiddush Levan in the desert? The Rebbe brings us down in the Sicha. How did they do Kiddush Levan, if the clouds were on all directions, so how did they do Kiddush Levan? So it says, Meishra, it says in the Medrash, this brought down in Svarim, I don't think it's a Medrash. It says in Svarim that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came time to do Kiddush Levana, Moshe Rabbeinu went out with his handkerchief. I didn't have a handkerchief in those days. And he waved it. The clouds opened up. The Jews did Kiddush Levana. Clouds closed back. Well, the Rebbe told the story because it was happened that there was no Levana. It was a very interesting story. This is in the earlier years of the Rebbe's leadership. There was no Levana. And it was the last night. So the Rebbe came out to look for the Levana. There was no Levana. And so the Rebbe told the story that there was a great Pelesher Rebbe. It's brought down in the Sikh. I don't remember his name. It was a great Pelesher Rebbe. The one time there was no Levana. So the Pelesher Rebbe told us, sim this medrash with the Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. And this great tzaddik took a handkerchief and went like this. And the clouds dispersed and they had a Levana. The Rebbe told the story, went back into his room, and a little while later the Levana came out. He didn't go with the handkerchief. I'm saying, a little while later there was a Levana, they came out to do Kiddush Levana. So no, you're saying, how did they do the people were aware of what's going on by the Jews. The Jews did, according to the Ramban, the Jews did business with neighboring communities. You know, they did. They were connected. They weren't separated completely out of it.
At night, they have the cloud on the top of them because they have the light. You have to see the way that they're going. Night, they...
No, the flame at night was in the front of the camp to lead them when they traveled at night.
They don't know on top to see.
There were different clouds. There were the Nani Akavid and there are two different types of clouds. One cloud would respect and one cloud led them. The two different clouds.
What was the first one? Respect?
Anani Akovid, the fact that the Jews were secluded.
Security.
That was one thing. Okay. So this is the important lesson of this is, in what Hashem does. Yad alech techa, you should know, going in your ways, as a midbar agadol azed, this massive desert. Zeh ba'im shana, this 40 years, Hashem akecha imach, that God is with you. He says, chasar to dover, you never missed anything. You did not lack anything. You had everything that Hashem, that you needed, Hashem gave it to you. So now that Hashem said, okay, you can't fight that thing. By the way, the Mefarshim point out that Moshe Rabbeinu left out over here a detail. If you remember before, in Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu sent messengers to Edom, let us go through your land. And Edom came, and he said, we're not letting you. So the Jews turned away. That detail Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioning here. But he says, "Vanei vanaver meisachenu bnei Esav." Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say the story? There was a story before in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu sent messengers to Edom, and they said, "I'm not going to let you go," right? And then Edom came with a big army, and the Jews turned away. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say this story here? So the Mefarshim explained, because if Moshe Rabbeinu would say the story, you know what the Jews would say? Oh, you know why we didn't fight Edom? Because we were afraid of them. Mm. So Moshe Rabbeinu left out the whole story, so to speak. So therefore, he didn't. Should be then the bullock.
What's the difference, the first time and second time?
No, now he's repeating all the stories.
So
he doesn't. Okay, Sichem he killed. Oh, here it is. In Parshas Chukas. He said, Melech Edom, let us go through it. He said, no way. Okay? We're not going to let you go. So if Moshe Rabbeinu told the story over, they would say, oh, the Jews were afraid of him. That's why he didn't fight. So Moshe Rabbeinu just left out the whole story. Okay. We left the Esav from that lived in Seir. Mederecho Arava. From the way of Arava. Me'elas umetzin govern, from Elas umetzin govern, we turned and we came to Derech Midbar Moav. So now they went away from Edom and now they came to Moav. Okay? This is where they're coming now. So what happens? Yem Hashem Elai, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, yeah? He said, Hashem said to me, Al Totzer es Moav, don't distress Moav, Val Tizke Bom Muhammad, don't start up with them either. Edom, Hashem said, don't start up with. I gave them the land. That's it. What happened now? Don't start up with Moav. I'm not going to give you the land. Because I gave late as an inheritance. So again, just like Seir, Esav, Hashem said, I gave him that land, and therefore I don't want you to take it away from them. The same thing I gave Moav to them. Now,
Lot, they have Abraham, the conversation of the land, they divided, it's the same land. We had conversation with Abraham to separate the
yeah, one sec, we'll see what happened. Now, why did Lot or Moav merit that the Jews would not take away the land? So it says two things. Number one, because when Lot traveled with Avram Avinu, he kept secrets. Lot was traveling the whole time with Avram. When they came down to Mitzrayim, and Avram said to Sarah, tell you when you're my sister, Lot didn't snitch. He kept a secret. You know, kept it in the family secret. So because of that, Hashem rewarded him that he cannot the Jews will not take away his land. And as paying back the deed that he did to Avram, so Hashem said that Avram's grandchildren, the descendants, are not going to conquer the land of Moav. That's one thing. He said, Mayav, also the two daughters, Ammon and Mayav came from Laitan's two daughters. So he says, that they procreated the world again. Why did Lait's two daughters do it? They thought the whole world was destroyed. That's what it says in the Chumash, right? In Vayera. They thought the whole world was destroyed, so they said, they're Kayin in heaven, right? Kayin in heaven. We have to read it. So because of that, Hashem said, Atatze Esmayev. Amen, though, we'll see later, is different. Okay. By the way, you see here another remarkable thing, the Mefarshim point this out, not here, but in other places. Hashem rewarded. What did Lot do already? He kept a secret for 10 minutes. How long was the secret for? When they were coming down, he said, oh yeah, it's his sister. So because of that, look what he got rewarded, that the Jews didn't take away the land. There's a medrash that says, in Shaftim there's a story, it's a famous story with Ehud ben Gera and Eglin Melech Mayav. Eglin Melech Mayav, Eglin was descendant also, he was the ancestor of Rus. He's the ancestor of Rus. Hashem told Ehud, who was one of the Jewish leaders, the Shaftim, the head of the Jewish people at that time, I want you to go kill Eglin. Go kill him. But Hashem told Ehud, you have to kill Eglin. So, it says, Ehud ben Gera was paralyzed in his right hand. So he was a lefty. Now normally, when you went through security in the olden days, they would check you for a sword on the left side, because most people were right-handed, right? So you pulled the sword from the left side. He was paralyzed in his right hand. So he was a lefty. So where did he keep his sword? On the right side, right? So they didn't do a security check on him. This is what it says. They didn't check him. He came to Eglin Melech Mayav. The pasuk says Eglin was very, very big and fat. Mamish. Overgrown. Really big. And Ehud ben Gera had to have Eglin stand in order to kill him. He couldn't kill him when he was sitting down. So he says to him, Ehud said to Eglin Melech Mayav, I have a message of you from God. Hashem has a message for you. So he stood up in respect of a message of Hashem. When he stood up, Ehud took out a sword and stuck it into his stomach. And it says it was so big that the sword didn't even go through the whole stomach. Okay, and he killed him. So it says in the Medrash, in the commentaries, and Rus bring this down, and shaved him also. In the merit that he stood up, he's a guy. When Ehud said, I have a message to you from Hashem, the guy stood up. Because of that, he merited that Rus came from him. Listen, just because of that, Rus came from him, and Rus is not only Rus. Rus is David HaMelech, Rus is Mashiach. Why did the Rus come from Mayav, from Eglin? She was a granddaughter of Eglin Melech Mayav. Because he merited, because he stood up for the word of Hashem. So the Mefarshim say, you see, that Hashem rewards everybody. He rewards everybody. Even a tiny little mitzvah that the person did, the goy did, he was rewarded. Light was rewarded here because he kept a secret for a few minutes. Eglin Melech Mayav was rewarded because he stood up. So Gemara says, how much more so for people that do a lot of mitzvahs that Hashem will give the ultimate reward?
Why they doing it the same time? Why are you going to his grandchildren and grandchildren? Why
not? Because it wasn't time yet for those to be born. What do you mean?
No, but they don't let them to kill him.
Hashem, for whatever reason, wanted him to die. I don't remember the reason.
So what happened to him?
He died.
Died.
Ehud?
Yeah.
Nothing.
He came back?
He got out of it. I don't know. But it's interesting. Rashi quotes over here like this. By Mayav, it only says, Al tizgur ba milchama. Don't fight with them a war. Okay? Don't provoke war with them. By Bnei Amin, the Pasuk later, Pasuk Yutes is going to say, Al tizgur bam, don't start up with them at all. Not only for war. Meaning, the Jews were allowed to provoke Moav, but not Amin. Why? Because Lot's two daughters, the older one was totally not Sneas. She was the one that came up with the idea. She openly did it. And what did she call her child? Moav. Why did she call him Moav? Moav means Me'av. She openly, been the name, she said, this kid was incest with my father. The other one, Bnei Amin, it says, she called him Amin, which Ben Ami, but it wasn't as blatant, the chutzpah, you know, of the older one. So therefore, Mayav, even though Mayav merited Rus, but by the way, there's another interesting thing, because Midyan was even worse. Midyan, they hired Bilam to curse the Jews. Moav didn't. So there's a bunch of nations over here. And we'll see as we go on the relationship between the Jews and the different nations. There's a relationship between Jews and Amalek. Kill them, destroy them completely. Edom, Hashem says, don't stand up with them at all. Mm-hmm. Okay? Light's kids, depends. One is you can't start war with them, but you can provoke them. The other one, don't even provoke anything. And then you have Midyan, the terrorists in the Kremlin, Nikmas, B'nai Yisro, Mesa, Midyanim. You have to take revenge from the Midyan. Each nation had its ups and downs, their merits, and their evil, and each one was dealt with accordingly, based on what Hashem told them.
Why Moab was granted such a zakun? Doesn't make sense. And at least something has to be a little bit straight for Rooster.
Why did Moab merit it more than Amin?
Yeah.
You have to ask the one above.
Has to come from such a off.
Yeah.
The old mamzer or everything?
The whole world is mamzerim.
The learning tradition, yes.
No, not that. Where does everybody come from?
Adam.
No, Adam and Chavel. And after that, Cain and Hevel. Now, who did Cain and Hevel marry?
Sisters.
The sisters. From the same father and same mother. Wasn't even half sisters, right? There was only one set of couple in the world.
Before Matan Torah.
There's still Mamzadim.
Before Matan Torah.
But we mentioned this already.
So we are all Mamzadim?
Yeah.
No, more than others. The first generation.
Some more than others, yeah. Some are but don't act it, some are and act it, some acted and aren't, but. But Chlau, we mentioned this before. This is a fundamental thing that some people have a problem with understanding this. Certain great, we spoke about this many times, certain great relationships cannot come through normal channels. The forbidden relations that the Torah forbids is because they're too great for a normal world to handle. Certain extreme, unique, separated things have to come, exceptional cases have to come through those forbidden things. And I remember, if you go through history, you find this a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would have been born after Matan Torah, would have been a mamzer. Moshe Rabbeinu's parents separated at Matan Torah. They were not allowed to stay married. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram, his father, married Yocheved, his aunt. Now an uncle is allowed to marry a niece,
yep.
But a nephew cannot marry an aunt. And if a nephew marries an aunt, not only is it capital punishment, but the kid's a mamzer. If an uncle marries a niece, according to one opinion, it's a mitzvah, the Sfarvasa Rabbi Dachos says you shouldn't do it, whatever. But the kid's definitely a legitimate kosher kid. But if a nephew marries an aunt, the kid is a mamzer. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu was the descendant of a nephew and an aunt. Amram married Yocheved, his aunt. So Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was born before Matan Torah, wasn't forbidden, so he wasn't a mamzer. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been born after Matan Torah, he would have been a mamzer. Now, me God alone, no kavasha. Who's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe kibul Torah mesinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, everything Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. God couldn't get Moshe Rabbeinu born through a more kosher channel. Yeah, he was before Matan Torah. But why should Moshe Rabbeinu be born to a relationship that after Matan Torah would make him a mamzer? Okay, that's step number one. Then you have Yehuda and Tamar.
Yeah.
Father-in-law, daughter-in-law. Granted, before Matan Torah, there was the din of Yibum with any relative. There's a lot of reasons. Bottom line is, father-in-law and daughter-in-law creates a mamzer. Bottom line. Father-in-law, daughter-in-law create a mamzer. Okay? Yehuda and Tamar gave birth to Peretz and Zorach. Two kids. Where did Boaz come from? Mr. Rus. Not you. Mr. Rus. Where did he come from? From Peretz. Okay? Boaz married Rus. Ancestor of David HaMelech, ancestor of Mashiach. Yeah? Hashem couldn't have picked a better shidduch for Boaz to come out from Yud and Tamar. And then take Rus, the mother, the matriarch of David HaMelech and Mashiach. She came from Leighton's two daughters. So just think about it. The holiest people we have, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Mashiach, yeah, were all illegitimate births if they would have been after Matan Torah. So God couldn't have picked better, some better place for these guys to come out of. So what's the answer? Because the greater the thing, the lower it falls. So forbidden relationships, it says in Kabbalah, why are they forbidden? Because the world is not great enough to elevate such a great thing. It's the opposite of the way normal thinking is.
Yeah.
It says, because in Kabbalah it says, because it's so great, we can't elevate it. But there are exceptional cases that Hashem made in roundabout, who knows what ways, that this is the way it should happen. So why does Mashiach come from Moav? I just answered your question. The fact that Moav was worse than Amun meant that it's lower, which in the source is higher. Right? The lower the thing, the higher the source. So therefore, Mashiach has to come from that.
Do we have an example after Matan Torah?
Of what? No, there would be Mamzerim.
No, so it goes lower.
No, but after Matan Torah was forbidden. Do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents divorced at Matan Torah? It says that they divorced. They weren't allowed to stay married.
So I'm asking, why after Matan Torah we cannot have such situations? So they're so great then.
Because only Hashem made it happen that way, before Matan Torah. Once the law is given, you can't change the law. So therefore, even though Moav is worse than Amun, but Mashiach and Rus and David HaMelech and all that come from Moav.
But David HaMelech is not born yet.
I understand, but he's a descendant of this relationship. Eventually, yeah, you're right. Eventually, yeah. Even none of them were born yet. But the fact that such a holy, special neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Mashiach, whatever it is, comes from these illegitimate, seemingly illegitimate relations is strange. And not only that, Boaz who married Ruth, both Boaz came from one side, and Ruth came from the other side, you know.
Both
illegals. Illegal immigrants. But that's when Hashem makes funny things happen. Okay, 2 lines in the end of the page. Ha'emim lefanim Yashuva, the emim dwelt there previously. Okay. And he says, "Am Gadol v'Rav v'Ram Kanokim." There were great giants over there. They're very big. In other words, Rashi says that why is the pasuk telling us? Who cares who lived there? Because the Rephoim were the Jews did conquer the land, but not the Emim. So therefore, the Meshmesh Rabbein just explained to the Jews, why is the land of Moav not yours? Because that was never given to Avram Avinu. The Emim, that's the name of the nation, was there all the way back, and that was never given to Avram Avinu. So therefore, it's not yours. Nephoim, Yechoshev Afem Kanokim, they're also as important like giants. They're also very powerful and mighty. So therefore, v'amayavim yikrolam emim, the mayavim called them emim, but they weren't really emim. But Rashi says, why were they called emim? From the word ema. They were so powerful, they threw fear on everybody. They threw fear on everybody. Okay, v'seir yashua chedem lefnim, and just going through the history of the nations to know who's allowed to. Okay, then why the Jews have no claim to Har Seir? Because the Chedim were there, Vnei Esav Yiroshum, and Esav conquered them, Vayashmidum Ipneihem, and they destroyed the Chedim, Vayeshu Tachtom, and they lived there. So therefore, even though Chedi is one of the nations given to the Jews, but once the Esav conquered it, the Jews have no more right to it. Kasha Asal Yisrael, like the Jews did, the Eretz Yerushalsei, to the land of even though what he means is what the Jews will conquer Eretz Yisrael, even though it didn't happen yet, but after Moshe Rabbeinu conquered Sichon and Og, who were the two kings that were hired to protect the land of Israel, so it says it was done already. So therefore, Kashasi Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Shenosan Hashem Lem that God gave them. After now, Kumu v'Ibrochem es Nachozorad. Okay, let's go through Nachozorad. The Navas Nachozar, we passed over Nachozarit. Okay? Vayamim Asher Alachnu Mikadosh Baneh. Kadosh Baneh was where the spies were sent from. Okay? So remember, from the place the spies were sent until was Nachozarit, Shleishim Ushmein Hashanah was 38 years. That's how long this journey in the desert took. Atem kol ador anshe mochon mekerav v'machne until all the people died, kasher nishba Hashem lohem that God swore to them. In other words, the meraglim happened in the second year. Okay, not when it's again the second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after the second Pesach. So therefore, it's 38 years that everybody died in the desert. So altogether, it was 40 years, but in the desert was 38. Therefore, Rashi says, Kadosh Baneh, the Jews were 19 years because it was half of the time that the Jews were in the desert. Also, the hand of Hashem was with them to get rid of the camp, to get them out of the camp, until they were finished, until he destroyed them all. Okay, now is an interesting pasuk. After all the 48 men died, all the men of the war died, Then Vayidaber Hashem Elai Lemer. Then Hashem spoke to me. And this is an interesting thing. For 38 years in the desert, Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you notice, the whole story with the spies in Korach is at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. Right? That was in the first year. And then Dvarim is in the 40th year. So when the Jews were suffering in the desert, so to speak, Hashem did not speak to the Jewish people. From Shiluch Meraglim, Hashem says, Ad Kan, Hashem didn't speak, Vayidaber only Vayomer. Why? Because, Leinis Yachid Adiber Beloshin Chiba, Ponim El Ponim. It says like this, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu a few times. Vayomer Hashem O Moshe Lemer, Parshav Tzitzis. Vayomer Hashem O Moshe, not Vayidaber. When was Vayidaber Hashem Elai? After 38 years. So Rashi says why? That ein ashchina sheira al anaviim ela bishvil Yisrael. And this is a remarkable concept. And the Kliyok asks a question over here, because the cheira amira is an expression of love. Vayidabe is hard. Okay, so why did he do it? So he says, because that was the love that Hashem spoke to him. As far as the receiver is concerned, Vayidaber is better. But that's irrelevant. What it means like this. What Rashi is saying, the Jews sinned. The Jews were punished. Moshe Rabbeinu did not get spoken to by Hashem. Because Hashem gives Nevuah for the Jewish people. If the Jewish people are not fit for Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get it either.
There was no Torah written in those 30
years? Look in the...
Meaning that we don't know mitzvot, none of them? For 38 years, we didn't have any...
What they do?
They learned the Torah, they had it Har Sinai. But there were no new mitzvahs in the 38 years.
So all Torah Shabbat Peh and all Bichtav, everything was given in 2 years.
Yeah.
What, for 38 years?
No. It was given those 2 years. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it in the 40 years.
Yeah, okay.
The same thing you find by the eagle. When the Jews made the golden calf, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was Har Sinai, Hashem said to him, Lech Reid, go down. What's the double? Go down. She said Reid, or Lech. Yeah. Lech Reid. Yeah. So Rashi comments in the Medrash over there in Kisisa that Hashem said to Moshe two things. Go, and raid, go down from your greatness. Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Klum nasati l'cho gdula ele bishvil Yisrael. I only gave you greatness because of the Jews. There's no Jews, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, when the Jews were punished, they were dying in the Midbar, Hashem did not give Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu.
His children.
We have the same thing. But Yaakov Avinu, for 22 years that Yosef was away, Hashem didn't speak to Yaakov Avinu. He lost the Shechina. Then when Yosef, sent the wagons, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Avim, so the Medrash says, Yaakov became alive because the Shechina came back to him. So over there it says, why not? Because Yaakov Avinu was depressed, and Hashem only come down on Simcha. En Hashchina Shruya Allah B'Simcha. So Yaakov Avinu was mourning for 22 years, so Hashem said, I'm not coming to you. But here's a different part. It's the same concept. But Hashem says, the Jews sinned, the Jews are punished, Moshe Rabbeinu also don't get it. That's a remarkable thing, by the way. Huh? Because Hashem says, the only greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is because of the Jews.
He didn't have Chalisha Tadah?
Huh? Why should he?
For so many years? 38 years? He spoke to Hashem for 2 years, then all of a sudden stopped.
And then at the end of 40 years, he came back to him.
Did they give up?
Huh?
He didn't give up.
So this everything happened in 2 years from beginning of Torah Ta'ir.
When did Moshe Rabbeinu say Parshas Dvorim? Rosh Chodesh Shvat in the 40th year. Yes. Yeah. What do you have before that? Shlach was the Meraglim. Yeah. Kerech happened right after the Meraglim. Mamish right away. Yeah. The Shlach Kerech. Chukas, that was in the second year. Hashem told him the din of Paradum in the second year. Then you had, that's it. And then you had Sichon and Eich battles and the story of Balak. That was it. It's 40 years, there's no mitzvahs given. So there's a story with the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek once wanted to retire. He says, Chassidim had taken too much of his time, he can't do it. He wants to quit. He wants to go there, so he wants to quit. So his son, his oldest son was the Maril. The youngest son, Rav Marash, took over, but the Maril became the Kapister Rebbe after his father died. So one day his father took a safe, and his father was telling his oldest son that he wants to retire. So the son took a safe and went like this. Tzemach Tzedek wrote a phenomenal amount of work in Gemara and Chassidus. A lot of it was lost in the fire. There was a fire in Lubavitch. Most of it was burnt, including portions of Altreb Shechonor. A lot of things that we don't have today was burnt in the fire in Lubavitch. Anyway, but the Tzemach Tzedek got bookcases and bookcases and bookcases of Chedushim that he wrote. So some went to him like this. And if you didn't lead the Chassidim, would you have ever been able to write all that? He said, you're right, and changed his mind. In other words, the greatness of a leader is in the merit of the Jews. The merit of the Jews is what makes... That's what Rashi says here. Rashi says it, L'lamdecho, Sheina Shechina Sheira, it's a Teres Kanim, it's a Gemara in Tainus. Sheina Shechina Sheira ala Nevi'im, Ella Bishvil Yisrael. When the Jews merit, that's when God rests in the prophets. The Jews don't merit, there's no prophecy. It's a remarkable strength of the Jews, by the way.
Rabbi, Moshe what? Is argue with the Hashem to see the Israel.
Yeah.
So, this what time of year is between 438 or
he wanted to eat the Israeli ice cream, they say, is very good.
Yeah.
That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Israel. Yeah.
Why, what, which age, which is between 30 years or in 2 years?
What?
He bargained Hashem wants to go to see.
That could be that he davened Hashem the whole time. Things happened in the 40 years, but no mitzvahs were given, and no prophecy was given to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So, after 2 years, everything
disconnected? Rashi says, I didn't say it. Rashi says it. I mean,
after 2 years, everything disconnected?
Yep. Since the Meraglim, everything became disconnected.
How come the Hashem appointment...
What?
Somebody go to Israel to...
Yeah, Hashem said, you sure? But that was later on.
What
in the 40th year, Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe I can go in. So but then Hashem said, you have to pick Yeshua. You're not going in?
So if all Torah is 2 years...
I don't say what the big... This
all Torah is 2 years. Why 4 years?
The Jewish people are one big body. Correct? One big body. That's brought down all over the Medrash. Now only Chassidus. You have the heads. You have the hands. You have the feet, the stomach, the toenails. Then you got some Jews that are the heels. Then you have some Jews that are the ingrown toenails. Mm-hmm. A bunch of pain. That's what they are. But it's all one body. When there's a pain in the foot, the head doesn't function. Right? Why not? Because it's one body. And the head suffers from the foot. Why should the head suffer because the foot's in pain? Think about it. The head is the head, the foot is the foot. Why should the head suffer because the foot's in pain? The answer is the nerve center's in the head. And the head feels the pain. And therefore, when the foot is no good, the head's no good. Right? Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu was Rebbe, which stands for Rosh B'nai Yisrael, that's what the word Rebbe stands for, Rosh B'nai Yisrael, or, like we know in the Mishnah, it says, the leaders of the Jewish people were the Nasi, right? The Nasi and the Avbezdin. Nasi, the prince, Nun, Shin, Yud, Aleph, stands for, it says in Kilas Yaakov, a Kabbalah Sefer, that Nasi stands for Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. A leader is the spark of Yaakov Avinu. Just like Yaakov Avinu was the head of all the 12 tribes, so the Nasi is the leader of all 12 tribes, all the Eden. So, if the Jews are sick, so to speak, spiritually sick, so then the head is suffering from it. And therefore Hashem can't reveal Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Jews, the foot is sick. What was the... There's a more remarkable Rashi. Later on, earlier in Chumash, when it says, sometimes it says, Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies, and sometimes it says messengers, and sometimes it says the Jews sent messengers. So Rashi says, also in Chumash Rashi says, L'lamdecha sha'anasi hu akil. The leader is all the Jews together. That's why it sometimes says, Moshe Rabbeinu sent, sometimes it says, the Jews sent. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, equals all Jews together. This is the same concept.